Seder. Okay, this is the third shiur of Mesilas Yesharim, as we did the introduction first week, Perek Aleph last week, and now we're going to do, I know I said we do a Perek a week, but Perek Beis, if you have the Sefer, Perek Beis is very short. So today we'll do Perek Beis and Perek Gimel. Again, if you remember, we talked about how we're supposed to use the Sefer, the introduction and the first chapter, basically kind of defining what's good versus bad. And that we have to define our goals in life. And that, you know, we can't improve ourselves if we don't know where we're shooting, if we don't know what map we're using, if we don't know what ladder to climb up, right? All the examples that we gave before. And we said that everything is, you know, nothing in life is neutral. Everything is either positive or negative, right? Depending on certain situations and certain circumstances. And the Torah is what defines good versus evil. And that was, again, that's in 1 minute, that's the first chapter. Again, we said that he's going to use the Torah to define the ladder, and then he's going to go up the rungs of the ladder, all these attributes that we're going to use to acquire like the right and proper derech in life. So the first thing we're going to do, if you're in Perek Beis, right, you see it's Be'or Midas Hazahirus, explaining, now as it translates in the English, the virtue of vigilance. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what the virtue of vigilance is. I don't know what vigilance is. When I see the word vigilance, I think of Batman, because he's a vigilante, and that's what I think of. So I don't know what vigilance means. But what Zahirus means is like being careful. It's like being thoughtful, analyzing, being measured, contemplative. You get the idea, right? Not just going through life, right, without thinking about life, but analyzing and being careful about life. So again, like I said, I'm not going to read the text necessarily, because I think it's going to bog down the Zoom type shear, but I will, and just to kick us off, what's Inyan Hazahirus, what does it mean to be, let's say, we'll use analytical as the translation, or careful or thoughtful? She'e ha'adam nizhar b'masav uv'inyanav. That a person has to be careful both, and he says two things, and this is very important, both in their actions and in their inyanav, and in their drachav, in their ways. And that's two different things. The first thing, obviously, as you can imagine, is you have to analyze your actions, right? Whether your actions are positive or negative. The second thing, and this is often more important, is the general direction of your life. And I would argue that that requires almost more analysis, because the first is easily quantified. If the steak is kosher or treif, very easily quantified. The second is a much more general kind of, am I doing these things that will lead me down in the right direction? And that requires more effort, because it's not always so clear. You know, again, where you live, where you choose to live, where you choose to make your livelihood, right, where your friends are, right? If we're going to define good as bringing you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and defining bad as bringing you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So it's equally important to analyze your actions and also the overall arc, right, of your story. And he says over here, just to try and kind of to cut to the chase, right? So he says, just and if a person does lavilti azov nafsho sakana savadon, if a person doesn't do that, so you run the risk of, to sound dramatic, you run the risk of losing your soul. Now, this is not meant to scare you, right? But you know, if you wander throughout town without a map, you can very easily get lost. Right? If your goal is to get lost and just enjoy yourself, so that's fine. But if your goal is to get to a destination and you don't know where you're going, so you're going to get lost, right? Without zihirus, without analyzing your actions and your ways, so a person is going to you're just walking blind throughout the world, and you probably won't stumble upon where you're headed. He says in the second paragraph over here, if you're in the green book over here on Daf Yud Dalet on page 14, he says that Akash Baruch Hu built into human and animal instinct the nature to flee. Or I guess built into animal nature, the instinct to flee, right? Something, you know, have you ever seen these wildlife documentaries? So as soon as you follow the lion for like 20 minutes and the deer picks his head up, it's like, ah, lion, and he starts running away. So animals have this instinct. Humans have this instinct also, except that our instinct is much more forward in our mind in the physical sense, right? We have this instinct spiritually also, but it's much duller. It's not as present. And we have to work on making it more present in our minds, right? Again, if you ignore this spiritual instinct to survive, so he says over here again, he says you're a blind person again. You're just like an animal, right? You don't really you're using the physical right instinct to survive, but not the spiritual, right? He's like a blind man just walking on the banks of a river, right? He could fall in, right? He's in grave danger. That's the language, and he says this is exactly what Yirmiyahu. Well, not exactly, but he starts at the third pack over here. But I mean, he says that basically what people don't do, unfortunately, is take the time to analyze and think. And most people, unfortunately, just willfully ignore all of the quote-unquote warning signs or all of the thoughts that may go in their head. And that's what Yirmiyahu was telling to the generation of he lived in the time of the Churban when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He was telling all the people, listen, you're doing these such and such sins. It says in the Torah, if you do such and such sins, you will get exiled. The Beis HaMikdash, you will get destroyed. You will have, God forbid, a Holocaust. You will have a destruction. If you do these sins, that's what's going to happen. And no one paid attention to it. Right? He quotes a couple of psukim over here. He says, it's basically people lived life like a horse charging headlong into battle, as just to use the words in the translation, right? That people run after, and this is a key line which we're going to harp on for a minute, Shahayu rodfim v'holchim b'merutzas her gelam. That basically they're running with the speed of their hergel. Anybody know what hergel is? Hergel is something that you are used to, is your habits, is your way you're just commonly used to living. Basically, so many people, right? This might be literally the biggest thing I could teach you. If I teach you one thing, right, in all the years of Sam and all these Shurim and all this stuff, if it's to throw out the anchor and in the middle of the river of life, and to throw out the anchor and be like, where is this thing going? If that's what I teach you, then it'll be enough. I mean, that's what Ramchal says. I mean, and we have to be able to have the wherewithal to be like, listen, what's the deal? And to be analytical. Now, we're going to talk about how to be analytical and how often you have to be analytical in a minute. But just to have that concept of that not running through life because everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is going to this college. Everyone else is going to this party. Everyone else is going to, you know, getting this type of job. Just to think and analyze your own life. For some people, XYZ job is great. For some people, XYZ job is terrible, right? If you're going to do that because your friend is doing it, so that's not a good reason. Right? You should think about the choices that you're making in your own life, whether it's good or positive or negative, right? Based on the things that we've been discussing, right? What brings you closer to Hashem and what brings you farther away? And unfortunately, it's not only us, right, who have this disconnect between our actions and the result of our actions, right? Yirmiyahu's generation was, certainly guilty of this. We have very big people who have, do terrible things. We hear about these great people. There's a guy who just, it's just a terrible story all around. Right? The guy who founded Zaka. You guys know who Zaka is? You guys, Zaka is a Hatzalah type organization that goes and assists whenever there's any disasters or something like that. It helps with it. Does a tremendous amount of chesed. So the guy who created that amazing organization was a pedophile. And you're just like, it doesn't compute. It's like people don't believe it, not because they don't believe it, but just like, how does that work? And I mean, the reason it's popping into my head, because he died last week. I mean, he had committed suicide, he tried to commit suicide, he was in the hospital, whatever. And long story short, people do these terrible things. You think this guy wasn't doing other nice things? I'm sure he was, but he was obviously a terrible person. There's a disconnect very often, right? How in the world does some person do this avera? Says Ramchal. That's what Yirmiyahu was yelling at the Dor HaKhurban. They weren't connecting their actions to what it says in the Torah. Right? They were like a horse running into battle. So we are propelled, right, according to what we are become accustomed to. We are propelled, right, we live life based on where our habits are dictating. That's what drags us along. So it's crucial to analyze your habits, right? Not only your actions, right, as we'll talk about actions and the way that you're living your life, but your habits also will be a very good indicator as to whether the way you're living your life is positive or negative. And again, just to give examples, because we're going to get to it in a second, a little bit deeper, is it healthy for you to be on the phone half an hour before bed? Is it healthy to be on the phone half an hour when you get up in the morning? What type? Again, it's even if it's neutral things that you're looking at, is it a positive habit that you're building? Is it a negative habit, the habit that you're building, giving yourself that dopamine hit? Is it good? Is it bad? Sometimes you need it. Sometimes there's a very legitimate, you know, I need to detox from my day, just sit and stare at hopefully positive things on the phone. That can be a very legitimate thing. That can be, I had a very difficult day, a very stressful day. All I want to sit on this couch and scroll through highlights of bunnies running around the field. I don't know, whatever. That can be very legitimate. But you should analyze that. You should think about it. And you should, you know, as everything else that you do. If the habits are healthy, reinforce them. If they're not, then wean yourselves off it. So now, if you're following with the books on page Tesvav Ulam, he says one, and this I'm going to paraphrase because it's super crucial that you get this down. He says one of the ways that the Yetzer Hara gets us is to keep us busy, to keep us always busy, so that people don't have the time or the brain power, the mental capacity to sit for a few minutes and analyze their actions. And he said that's because the Yetzer Hara knows that that's how it works. That if you do that, you'll be great. You'll take off. That your life will be amazing. So he tries to cut that off beforehand and make you so busy that you don't have time for it. And this is really where we're going to harp on the phones for a second. Just not, you know, not because I like ripping on the phones, but the Yetzer Hara has finally figured out a way to make us busy 24/7, literally 24/7. If a person, says the Ramchal, if a person would just have a few minutes to stop and think about their actions, not analyze their phone usage. I meant their other actions, right? We're busy, screen time, 7-8 hours a day. How often are we on our phones? And that time could be used to analyze and think about the rest of the day. I'm not talking about analyzing screen time. I'm talking about analyzing all the other actions. This is the crazy most of the phones, right? When a person's busy, they can't think or they don't think. Right, and when they have time to contemplate, right, they can analyze their ways and then they can fix their ways. So three etzas. I want to give three etzas just quickly, and then we'll get back to the text. Three etzas for the phones. Now I realize the phone thing is hard, and I apologize for harping on the phones, but it's just an easy example to when he says here that the Yetzer Hara gets us to be busy all the time. The first thing I think of is bumming around on the phone. So three etzas to try and reduce your phone usage a little bit if you decide that your, you know, screen time is negative. If it's positive or it's fine, you think it's fine, so then fine, you don't have to do this. But if you think it's negative and it's difficult to wean yourself off, three eights. First of all, you play a game. Anybody get a screen time report on Sunday? I do. So anytime your screen time report is down, even 1%, so treat yourself to ice cream or whatever. Now, sometimes it'll be up, sometimes it'll be down. But I guarantee in 6 months, if you're paying attention, it'll be down at least half an hour. Try it. Can't hurt. Worst case, you'll just get yourself some ice cream. Number two, second ESA is anytime you would naturally pull out your phone, let's say you're waiting for a bus, I don't know, whatever. So pick one of the day at times where you would naturally whip out your phone and just chill with it and don't do it. And think instead of scrolling through whatever. Right? Anytime, you know, most people in the day have times where you know you're going to be waiting for 5 minutes. Whatever, if you get, you know, I'm thinking of old man examples like going to the bank or standing in line at the supermarket. But you can come up with better examples, okay? You definitely can think of something where you're going to, okay, I'm going to be waiting for 5 minutes. So instead of pulling out your phone, sit and think. That's one idea. And the third one is, you're not going to be able to see this on the recording, but I'm going to show it up to the screen. This is, I don't know if it's going to come clear. This is a great widget. Anybody see this widget? Is it clear? No, it's not so clear. Maybe it is now. Okay. This widget is on the first screen of my phone. Whenever I open my phone, I see this widget. It is the screen time widget, and it takes up my entire screen pretty much. Every time, now it says 21 seconds because it just hit midnight and I haven't used the phone since, but every time I open my phone, I see how long I've spent on it. So again, is that going to make you not use it? I don't know, but at least it will put it in your head that, oh my gosh, I'm spending 8.5 hours of my day on my phone, and that will hopefully, you know, cause you to want to figure out ways to reduce it. Okay, now back to the text. Now the Ramchal says this is similar to what Paro said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came the first time. If you look at Parsha Shmos, Moshe comes to Paro and says, "Let my people go," famously, and Paro says, "I don't want the Jews thinking even thinking about getting out of Egypt, increase their workload. Make them work even more so they don't even have time to think and contemplate leaving. And that's exactly what we're talking about. That's what the Yetzer Hara does. And the Yetzer Hara, he says over here, if you look in, if you're on page Tezvav, fourth paragraph, the Yetzer Hara is Ish Milchama. He is a warrior, right? Melumad ba'armimus. He is educated in slyness and being shady and scammy and whatever. And you cannot run away from him. The only thing you can do is through great effort and through great chachma, etc., etc. Right? Quotes a couple of psukim from Mishlei because Shlomo Melech like knew all this stuff. Right? Is it run away as if just like you're a deer from the hunter? Okay, fine. Upashidu, right? And it's obvious, says the Ramchal, just to finishing up Perek Beis. Like I said, Perek Beis is short. And we'll go into Perek Gimel. It's obvious that if you put in the effort, right? So then we get Sata Tishmaya. Right? If a person would struggle in this battle by themselves, so they would have no chance. But Hashem sees a person trying, and it says, right, if a Kosh Baruch Hu didn't help him, we would fail, but it says Ramchal that we do get a Kosh Baruch Hu's help. Right? Hashem will help him, save him from the Yetzer Hara, but we have to put in the effort. Right? We have to put in the effort, we have to put out the first step. And it has to be us, meaning no one else is going to do it for us. Right? It may not be mealy, right? He ends off with, if no one else is going to do it for me, right? No one else is going to do it for me. Meaning, this is not something you can offload. This is not something you can get someone else to say a quick tillim for you, right? And whatever. No, this is something this is the work you have to do yourself, right? There's a, I don't know, well-known Gemara, but amongst the boys it's well-known because it's like a crazy Gemara, but there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, that's about someone named Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya. Now, this guy was not a Rav. In fact, the Gemara says about this guy that there was no prostitute in the world who he had not visited. That's what the Gemara says. As you can imagine, that gets a guy's attention immediately. But that's what the Gemara says. Now, why would you call him Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya? Why? He's not a rabbi. He's a bum. So Gemara says, well, cutting you short, but basically he went to someone he had not visited yet, brought a ton of money, and she made some sort of comment, just kidding, leaving out the details. She made some sort of comment, well, listen, I guess you're never going to have any redemptive qualities whatsoever. You're not going to go on Mahaba, et cetera, et cetera. She basically gave him Musar. She just commented on something that happened and said, well, I guess you're toast. And it had a real impact on him. And basically, the Gemara, why am I bringing this? Because the Gemara delineates that Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya went around to all of the natural things in the world, the mountains, the skies, the seas, the rivers, sun and the moon, etc., and said, please daven for me, help me, help me, help me. Nobody would help him. And finally, the line, the end of the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya put his legs put his head between his knees, right? He sat down, started crying, and he said, Ein hadavar talui ela bi. Apparently, he got the point, he understood that it's only dependent upon me. What the Gemara says, he cried so hard that he died, and the Bas Kol came out and said he was Zochet Olam Haba. Anyway, there's a ton of things to say about that Gemara, but the one thing I want to point out is Ein Hadavar Talui Ela Bi. It's only dependent on you. No one else is doing this work for you. So if you put in the work, great. If you don't put in the work, it's just not going to happen. Okay, that's Perek Beis. Perek Gimel. Now, Bibir Chelke Hazahirus, the elements of vigilance, translated as, but the elements meaning what does it mean? How do you go about being careful and being analytical of your life? So there are two things. First of all, a person, we have to, as we pointed out, you have to know what's good and evil. But you have to know what's positive, what's negative. You have to have your map. That's Perek Aleph, that's the Torah. Okay, that we saw. Second thing you have to do, you have to analyze two things, as we mentioned. You have to analyze your actions, and you have to analyze your ways. Now, the actions are much more clear-cut than your ways, as we pointed out, than your derech, than the general direction of your life. Right? The actions are much more clear-cut. Again, the steak, kosher, not. But the other stuff, right, neutral actions very often will depend on context. Right? Should you go swimming? Well, if you're rehabbing a knee injury, so then that's shmir saguf, vishmartam is not sur seichem, etc. So then that's positive. If you go swimming instead of coming to the shir, so that's less positive. If it's mixed swimming, that's even less positive. So again, you get the idea. Meaning the actions are not necessarily positive or negative. It all depends on the context. And that's something that we have to analyze. I'm going a little bit faster just because I want to make sure to get to the end by... we'll get there. But it basically says over here, again, if you're on page, I'm Daf Yud Zayin, there are two times when a person has to analyze their actions and their ways of their life. Well, let's start with the actions. First of all, b'shas ma'isa, when you're going through the action, right, you should always be careful and think about what you're doing. Don't jump off the bridge if everyone else is doing it. Right, we do that with our physical well-being, right? You wouldn't get into a car after a party if the driver's had a couple shots. So same thing, you should make that call with your spiritual self as well, right? If you have something that you can think about, if you're able to slow yourself down and think, is it this a good idea? So that's obviously important to do, and very chashuv to do. But also, shelo b'shas ma'isa. That is not when you're in the middle of the action, it's afterwards or another time, right? This is less commonly done, and this is what people talk about as cheshbon nefesh, right? To sit and think and analyze and look back, right? Very often, right, most of us do that on Yom Kippur, in the middle of Ne'ilah, 2 minutes before they blow shofar, and that's about it. Right? That's about it. Most of us do not do it more often than that. Says Ramchal, we'll get there in a second, but how often do you have to do it? Basically, you have to do it every single day. That says Ramchal, that's the best time to do it. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But a person should take overall stock of your actions, right? Analyze and make sure that your actions are positive and taking you down the right direction. Says Ramchal, in addition, a person, he quotes a Gemara over here, right? A fascinating Gemara, and also it's not actually related. We're not going to talk about the actual Gemara itself. The Gemara debates whether it was better or worse for man to have been created. Fascinating Gemara. But again, we want the last line of the Gemara, which he's quoting over here. Now that a person is created, the Gemara ends and says, well, now that you're created, you might as well yefashbesh b'masav or yemashmesh b'masav. That you should either yefashfesh your actions or yemashmesh your actions. And it's not machlokes as to whether it's a pay or a mem, even though those look similar. Those are two different types of analysis. Basically, the first one is analyzing your actions on an overall scale. Meaning, if you did 100 actions today, you look back and see if any of them were mistakes. Right? If you ate 20 times today, so how many times did you make a bracha? How many times is the bracha good? How many times is the bracha lousy? How many times did you miss the bracha altogether? That's the first one. That's what's called pishpush. That's I don't even know how to translate it. You translate it over here, it's not very good. So that's the first way. The second way is to analyze the positive actions to see if they were 100% good. Now, this is getting a little bit intense, but again, if you're doing cheshbon nefesh, you might as well do it the whole way. Let's say, great, you made a bracha. Was that 100% kavana, or were you being a little fake because, you know, your friend in the car, right, you wanted to impress her because, you know, look how frum you are. Or, you know, you saw, whatever, you know what I'm saying. Right, Ramchal here gives the example of you're wearing a suit, good, the suit fits, excellent. But now check out the material. Is the material good material? Is it going to last? So again, that's a more of a boys, but it applies for girls as well, right? You have a nice dress for the wedding. Is the material good? Is it going to last? Are you going to look good when you take pictures, etc., etc.? So those are two types of analysis, right? Again, whether the actions that you did were good or bad, and once you finding that the actions were good, were there any other, kind of influences within the positive action that could be fixed? Meaning a person goes to a shir, but you're not really going to hear the shir, you're going to catch some guy, it's a mixed shir, and you're hoping to catch some guy there. See, you know, catch his eye or something. You're having guests on Shabbos or Achnas or Orchim, very good, but the conversation quickly turns to politics, TikTok, whatever it is. So, again, positive and negative, right? So, again, there are two types of analysis. Okay, Kilul Shel Dover says that Klal HaDover on page Yud Ches, if you're kind of paying attention with the text. Yeh Adam Ma'ayin Al Masav Kulam Mufakek Al Derakav Shelo Laniach Atzmo Hergel Ra Umidara. Person should not only try to root out sin, but also, again, he mentions the habits thing again, that a person should also try and root out bad habits. Right, again, as we've been discussing, not only for the things that are literally usher, but also the negative habits. Now, in economy, you're correct that this is a lot of work, and this is intense. But as I said, if you're going to stop and you're going to take 5 minutes at the end of your day, you might as well do it for real. Now, says the Ramchal, how often do you have to do this analysis? So the Ramchal says, fascinating, great parallel. And there was just a story about this, so it really comes out very good. He says, how often do merchants or sellers or whatever go over their books? If you ever go to the supermarket, right, whenever a cashier cleans out the supermarket, right, takes, let's say she worked for 3 hours, right, 4 hours. Whenever a cashier stops their shift, they take an hour break, whatever it is, they close the register, right, and they check and make sure all the money is in order. Lahavdil, if anybody's ever been in a casino at a poker table, whenever you switch dealers, every half an hour, there's a quick accounting of all the chips, all the money, all the stuff, takes the thing with him every half an hour. Right, cashier every 3 hours. Right, there was just a story which I mentioned a second ago. A guy got paid for whatever. I don't know how this even makes the news, but a guy, some guy in Europe, got paid like 300 times his salary and basically ran off with the money and nobody can find him. Can you imagine if the company did not check their books once a year, right, on Yom Kippur, for example, right, just to bring the parallel over? If you imagine if the company checked their books once a year and they paid this guy 300 times his salary for an entire year. Like, that's obviously a disaster. So that's what we have to be doing. It shouldn't be anything less for our own spirituality. Yet, unfortunately, we do only do it once or even less, or maybe some of us do it not at all. So it really has to be every single day. And it doesn't have to be a long time. It could be 2 minutes before you go to bed. It doesn't have to be a 25, half an hour. It doesn't have to be a long session. Right? But to kind of take stock of what you're doing is very crucial. And says Rav Chaya, it's actually this week's Parsha, which we'll talk about on Thursday. We read it 2 days ago. You guys will read it this week. Right? Parsha's Chukas. Moshe, again, it's ironically, the background to this pasuk is not really so crucial. Basically, Moshe and Bnei Israel destroy the kingdom of Sichon. And the pasuk says, Al-Kin Yomru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbon. If you're reading or following along in the text, it's the last paragraph on page Yud Ches. That the people who are giving a mashal, giving a parable, say, right, come to Cheshbon. Now, that's not what he gets a little Hasidish-ish and kind of explains the pasuk. Forget the context whatsoever. But the word moshlim means someone who's also, doesn't mean only someone who says a parable. To be moshel over something means to rule over something. Someone who is in charge of something. Someone who has conquered something. So only the people who have conquered, says Rav Chaya, I'm just paraphrasing, are able to cheshbon, take a cheshbon nefesh. Only people who have dragged themselves out of the clutches of the Yitzhara, who have conquered themselves, conquered the Yitzhara, right? And only they can take a full, proper, accounting, a cheshbon nefesh. Now, what he doesn't mean that all of us who don't really conquer our Yitzhara should not do cheshbon nefesh. That's not what he means. He means that only if you have started to take this step of trying to extract yourself from the Yitzhara, right, then you start taking a cheshbon nefesh. Meaning it's almost coincidental, but basically what he says is that if a person is going to start fighting the Yitzhara, that's how they do it, right? That's how they kind of pull themselves out. Now, someone who is still in the clutches of the Yitzhara, he doesn't see the truth, right? He is basically, as he says, a blind person walking in the middle of the street, on the banks of a river, etc. Right, so then you can't necessarily take cheshbon nefesh because you don't know what you're looking for. Right, again, like we said, started with, right, if you know what your map is, if you know what your ladder is, if you know what the goal is, so then you can start taking cheshbon nefesh. Already, those people, all of us who have started learning Mesias Yesharim, we are all already part. Obviously, we're not there yet, but we have begun the process of extricating ourselves, to use a fancy word, to rule over the Yitzhara. So that's only those people are able to take a cheshbon nefesh. Because let's say if you didn't know where you were going and you decided to take a cheshbon nefesh, so that's what's worthless, right? It doesn't help at all. Right? You have no idea what you should be doing. So that's what he says. Now, and just to finish, okay. So and then he launches into basically, I guess, is what is one of the more well known parts of the Mesillas Yesharim. He says that a person who walks, again, does not have the proper mindset. It's as if he's walking at night. He's like a blind person walking in this world. This world, he says, is nighttime. That the physicality, the physical aspect of this world is like nighttime. It is like a darkness. And that makes it difficult for us to see our way. And he says that darkness causes a person to make two mistakes. Either you don't see what's in front of you, right? Or you mistake one thing, right, for another, right? And the first one, right, if you don't see what's in front of you, right, you run the red light, you don't see the car coming from the other side, to use a Canada example, you walk into thin ice, but you don't see the sign that says thin ice. I don't know, there's no ice in New York, really. Anyway, whatever. So you don't see the thin ice. You don't see what's going on because it's dark. The second mistake is is worse in that the people that think that something is bad is actually good, right? To use an example, when you're walking at night, you see a lamppost and you think it's a person. That's a bad example, but when you're looking, when you're walking in this physical world, right, the physicality, the olam hazeh, makes people think what they're doing is good, but it's actually bad. So people don't realize that they're heading the wrong direction. So bad actions turn into bad habits, not because they don't see what's going on, because they think it's positive. That's rationalization. That's a person who rationalizes. Only a person who's able to take themselves out of that, someone who is able to escape from the addiction, and it is an addiction, right? Some of these bad habits are addicting, right? It's not drug. We're not talking about drugs. We're talking about just bad habits, right? Someone who can remove those habits, right? If you, once you've gotten rid of those addictions, then you can help yourself, and you can help guide others. And this is what the Ramchal gets to. Also, a very, very well-known part of the Mesilas Yesharim is that this world is like running through a garden maze. For the Harry Potter fans out there, try a wizard tournament. Okay, that's basically, if you know what that is, a big maze of hedges. You have no idea how to get to the middle. The goal is to get to the middle. There's an objective way to get out of the maze. But you, if you're running it through it for the first time, which all of us are, right, so you can't see the way out. So only someone who has done it already, only someone who has the vantage point, is looking down on the maze, someone who has accomplished it already, so then they can help you. So he says, Ramchal, right, to find someone that has done it already, someone who has done it in this life, someone who you trust, someone you can choose with, right, to help you navigate through the maze. Right? If you don't, if you just kind of walk around on your own, so then you can stay lost. Right? The challenge is, though, is to listen to that person, because we all think that we know better. Right? A person tells you, you know, that guy is not a good idea for you, or that girl is not a good idea for you, or that college is not a good idea for you. So you're welcome to analyze that and think about that on your own, but, you know, very often the people who have been there and seen all the examples, sometimes they know better, not always, definitely not always, but sometimes they know what they're talking about. So the challenge is to listen to those people, and those are the people who have been Moshel in the Yetzirah. Those are the people who have gained more, let's say, rulership over their own Yetzirah than we have. Right? All of us need a Rebbe. All of us need a teacher. All of us need a role model that we can kind of ask for advice at certain times. Those people know how to navigate. So basically, what does the Ramchal say? The way to navigate is through this Cheshbon HaNefesh. He says there really is no other way. So this Kilul Shel Davar, the basically to sum up, right? Before we get to that, Hayah Eitz Hashem Nosnim Lo, the Eitz of the advice that you're going to get from all the people who have been through the maze already is Bo Cheshbon. Is take a Cheshbon HaNefesh, take an accounting of your actions, because they already tried it. And this, says the Ramchal, Zeh Levado Hu Aderech Amiti Lagia HaAdam El HaTova. This is the only way. This is the only way to fight against your bad habits and the Yitzhara, who's trying to make you busy all the time, is to stop and think and throw out the anchor and just say, hey, where is this thing going? Right? It doesn't have to be more than a minute or two a day. Most of us have that time built into our day already, whether it's before you go to bed or whether you're waiting on for the bus or whatever it is. But this is an important thing. Some people like to write it down. But to think about, you know, very often life is fast, and you're not always able to think about your life b'shas ma'isa when you're going through the actions. But if you're able to kind of contemplate after the fact, right? If you have a set time, let's say, I don't know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever it is, right, 5 minutes before you go to bed, 2 minutes before you go to bed, a little journal, a little diary, just run down a couple of things. If you get 3, 4, 5 points of things, always do positive and negative. Don't just be negative. That's a bad, that's also a trap of the Yitzhara. Gets you to be too negative, you'd be depressed. So if you list off 5 things you did great today, and then maybe a couple of things you did negative, so that's already a very wonderful start. That's already a tremendous, tremendous way to have a cheshbon nefesh. And you'll see that your life is instantly transformed. This is not something that will affect you in 6 months. The second you start doing this every single day, and do it every day, if you can, if you miss a day, it's also okay, but the second you start doing this every day, you will see instant results. And you won't realize it until you hit it. Like, let's say, that just use the brachas example. If you say, you ate 20 times, how many times you make a bracha? 18, great. 16, great. 12, less great. If you do that for a week, you'll start pausing before you eat for a millisecond, and then you remember to make a bracha, right? And then once you have that, then you can start analyzing the brachos. Was it a good bracha? Did I say all the words right? Did I have the proper kavana? Again, stages by step by step. But if a person spends literally a minute or two just writing down a couple things they did that was great and a couple things that need to be improved on, that's what we're talking about. That's the first stage in climbing the ladder over here. And Mitzvah, next week we're going to talk about acquiring this method. I'm not sure. Perik Dalet. We're just going to do Perik Dalet. It's pretty long, so we will just do that another next week, and then we'll go further from there. All right, everybody. It's been real. Adios. Great to see everybody. See you at the show on Thursday for Parsha. My pleasure. See you guys.